Hello everybody, I'm Miguel Gonzalez and you have tuned in once again to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We certainly hope that all of you had a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. We're certainly looking forward this year to continuing the study of God's Word and the proclamation of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. As you know, if you've been tuning in for the last few weeks, 3 weeks ago we started a new series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. And we said at the beginning of the series that we were going to explore things that true disciples do if they are committed to pursuing Christ, if that is the passion of their lives. I mean, as we go into the new year and we've just gone through celebrating the birth of Christ, it is time for us to make afresh a commitment to really do those things that are important to us and that bring glory and honor to Christ as we seek to grow in our faith. The last 3 weeks, we said that true disciples exalt Christ. We explored what exaltation meant and how we exalt Christ. This week, we will start looking at the principle of love, and we will say that true disciples love Christ. Now, considering who Jesus is and considering what he has done, our response to that knowledge, to those facts, ought to be a supreme and unadulterated love for Jesus. Now, in this lesson today, we're going to consider the importance of loving Christ, and we're going to consider the life of a man who claimed to love Jesus more than anybody else. In fact, he claimed that even if all would deny him, he would follow Jesus. And if you've probably already concluded who I'm going to be speaking about. Yes, I'm going to be speaking about Peter, and we're going to spend some time looking at the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of John, first in the Gospel of Luke. Now, as we go through this story and we draw principles from the text, as we consider how Peter failed in his own life, in his pursuit of Christ, should we question the sincerity of Peter's love for Christ? I would argue we should not. We should never forget that Peter was a human being just like you and I are. And he failed in his faith and he failed Jesus, but the Bible tells us about those failures in order for us to learn something from them. There are a lot of principles to learn from these various passages we're going to be looking at. We should not question the sincerity of Peter's love, but we should understand that just as Peter needed his love to be tested, so do we. A tested love, and we're going to look at that principle, a tested love is a sincere, mature love. And Peter, though he claimed to love Christ more than anybody else, and we don't question the sincerity of that statement, his love needed to be tested in order to become a mature love. So at this point, we're going to look at Peter's life and at the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at Peter's failure at the crucifixion of Christ, and we're going to look at Peter's restoration by Jesus. So let us consider several principles as we go through this lesson today. One of the first principle we're going to look at is we're going to look at the importance of a tested love. The importance of a tested love. We will discover, as Peter did the night Jesus was crucified, that real love is tested. And it's not what we say or do in those moments when we're comfortable and surrounded by people who share our faith. Real love is not what we say or do when we're surrounded by Christians or in a Bible study group. Real love is what we say and what we do when we face opposition, as Peter did. Don't lose sight of that important principle right there. True, devoted love for Jesus is declared out in the world where people who do not share your commitment and your values and your faith are going to oppose you and challenge you at every corner. Peter's humanity, as we look at this story, and by the way, you can start turning to Luke chapter 22. As we look at this story, we're going to see Peter's humanity highlighted, and we're going to find that the chief apostle, the leader of the disciples, was a human being and failed as we will, but we're going to see how Christ wonderfully restored him after he was had failed. And by the way, when we look at his failure, this is a perfect illustration of a Christian who is not at that moment controlled by the Holy Spirit. We will learn, if nothing else, that the key to our success in our pursuit of Christ is our close and intimate, consistent and continual walk with him. We need to learn the importance of dependence on him and on his Spirit. So let's review the story and let's discover what it is that it can teach us about how our love for Christ can remain strong in the face of opposition. The first thing I want you to look at is and we're going to look at Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 through 32. In this passage, we're going to find out that we are instructed to beware of confidence. God does not want us to be confident in our own strength or in our own abilities. He wants us to give up that self-assurance and boasting about our spiritual strength and about our ability. We're going to find out that we are weak, and as a result of our weakness, we are going to have to become more and more dependent on Christ. This was Peter's problem. Peter was overconfident. He thought he was stronger spiritually than what he really was. He failed to see his lack of strength, and he failed to see his weaknesses. And when he was out there and his love was tested by those who opposed him, that is when Peter failed. Now listen to what Jesus told Peter in the upper room just before he was arrested. He said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." Listen to what Jesus says. "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Now, Peter, now this is an important statement Jesus makes that we need to consider and understand because it's applicable to our lives. Listen, Peter, instead of heeding his warning, Peter responded by saying, but he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Peter said, Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me." Listen, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God knew that Peter was about to face the testing of his commitment and love to Jesus. And Peter was too confident, too self-assured of his own faith. He failed to recognize that spiritual maturity doesn't come from what we personally do, but rather by what we allow God to do in us and through us. And Jesus was warning him, just as Jesus is warning us today, that listen, don't think more about yourself than you really are. I know how weak you are. I know where your weaknesses lie. And I know that in a short period of time, you will be facing opposition. We should heed the statement of Christ, and we should respond in a way that is appropriate to that statement Jesus makes. Jesus said, "Peter, you are going to be tested. You are going to be tempted, and I want you to be ready, and I will pray for your faith." But Peter did not hear or understand what it was that Jesus was saying. Now let's remember who Peter was. He was the leader of the disciples. He was the spokesman of the group. Anytime there was a listing or a mention of the disciples, Peter's name was always on the top of the list. And Peter was the one who made that great profession about the deity of Christ, in which in part he stated that the church was founded. A passage that is often, that's Matthew 16, 16 through 18, a passage that is often misinterpreted to mean something else. But Peter became, and perhaps it was because he was the leader of the group and the spokesman of the group, but he became overconfident. And he miscalculated a couple of things, and I want to touch on those because it's important for our own spiritual maturity and our own commitment to the pursuit of Christ. First of all, he miscalculated his own spiritual condition. Jesus told Peter, and oftentimes, if we are spending time with God, if we have a quiet time where we study His Word and when we pray, oftentimes Jesus or God will tell us the very same thing that He has told Peter. Jesus told Peter that the devil had asked permission to put him to the test. Now, Peter didn't know that until Jesus mentioned it. Jesus knew that shortly Peter's faith, Peter's love, Peter's commitment to Jesus was going to be tested, and therefore he was praying for Peter's faith. And Jesus knew that Peter would fail, but Peter never considered that option. He thought his love for Christ was so deep and so profound that he believed he could face any challenge and overcome that challenge in his own strength. Peter thought that he was spiritually mature, at least mature enough to handle whatever temptation, whatever trial, whatever test the devil sent his way. What Peter did was essentially he forgot the words in Jeremiah 17:9, where Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Peter was relying on something that Jeremiah said was deceitful above all things. He was not relying on the strength that he could draw from the Lord Jesus. He was relying on his own strength, and he became overconfident. And as a result, the first thing he miscalculated was his own spiritual condition. Let me ask you, just by way of application, where are you today in relation to that? Listen, maturity, spiritually speaking, is not based on where you think you are. Let me rephrase that. Wherever you think you are, spiritually speaking, does not mean that that is where you are spiritually. Did that make any sense? Where you think you are spiritually, where you think you are spiritually, doesn't necessarily mean you are there spiritually. It's important to realize that it is Christ who determines our maturity, and it is Him who tells us where we are. And wherever Jesus says you are, spiritually speaking, in your maturity, that is where you are. Peter thought he was far more than he was, spiritually speaking, and he was about to learn that he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. Let Jesus, in your quiet time, tell you when it is, or where it is that you are spiritually speaking in terms of your growth. The second thing that Peter miscalculated, and we often do this too, I'm talking about Peter, but Peter's representative of all of us. The failure Peter experienced is the failure we have all experienced, and if we haven't, we will. And that's why these passages are in Scripture, to instruct us and to tell us and to warn us that at some point in our life we are going to face opposition. And let me tell you something, for those of us, you know, we are living now in a country where it has become very politically incorrect to be a committed, faithful Christian. In many circles, you are essentially told that it is forbidden for you to say anything about your faith. We just celebrated Christmas. We live in a society where Christmas is nothing more than a commercial holiday. It's all about materialism. And in this environment in the U.S. today, Christians are facing opposition everywhere. And Jesus warned Peter that he would be facing opposition, and he's telling us that in our faith we will be facing opposition. The second thing he miscalculated was this. He miscalculated the devil's power. Listen to me. Peter thought, and I'm not questioning the sincerity of the conviction of his belief regarding where he was spiritually and his abilities, his own abilities. Peter actually thought that he was strong enough to take and overcome the devil's testing and trial. That was his mistake. And you know what? In our own experience as Christians, we ourselves know, because we've done exactly what Peter is. We've underestimated the power of Satan, and we thought when we were faced with opposition that we would be able to overcome in our own strength, and just to find out that we fell flat on our faces, because we are not. Let me tell you something, folks. It takes a lot more than human determination to handle the devil's attacks. There is not a human being alive. There is not a human being alive who in his own strength can compete with the devil. So Peter was overconfident. And this passage teaches us that we need to beware of being overconfident. We are not as strong as we think we are. We are not as mature as we think we are. And we need to understand that in our own power, we don't have the strength or the ability to do anything. If we overcome because Christ causes us to overcome as we walk with Him and depend on Him. Listen, Peter overestimated his strength and underestimated his weakness. And before we pile it on Peter, where do we stand in relation to what he did and what he thought about his own faith? We have done the same things Peter has done. We are guilty of the same sins that Peter was guilty of. And that's one of the wonderful things about Scripture. Scripture's transparent. Scripture brings out all the dirty laundry of the most important characters talked about in Scripture. Peter was a human being just like we are. And his life and his failures are there for us to learn something from. So remember, God is telling you that a mature love is a tested love. And He's telling you that we have to be careful of overconfidence. He became proud because he thought he was more than he actually was, and he failed to understand his own weakness. Listen to what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Listen to this, because God has put this in Scripture for you to read and you to apply. So, if you think you are standing firm, listen, if you think you are standing firm, and certainly Peter thought he was standing firm, remember, Peter said, even if I have to die, I'll die for you, Jesus. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Watch overconfidence. Beware of overconfidence. the importance of tested love and the importance of understanding that overconfidence will lead us to a place where we will fail as Christians because we have failed to understand the principles that are highlighted for us in this passage. Listen, Peter's love was sincere, but he still needed to learn a huge lesson, just like we need to learn that lesson. Spiritual strength and weakness are there. And we need to do what it takes to recognize those things and do what it takes to deal with those weaknesses. We would do well to remember Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah 9:24 when he says, "But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight, declares the Lord." This is what God is saying. If you're going to boast, boast in me. Boast about the fact that I am God and that the strength that you have to overcome is the strength that I supply you with. Don't become so overconfident that you become proud and you reach a point where in your own strength you can defeat and overcome the onslaught from the devil, because you cannot in your own strength. And Peter learned that. We must never forget that in our desire to demonstrate our love for Christ, the power for that love comes from Him. We, as individuals, apart from Christ, don't even have the power to love God. We love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength because He gives us the ability and the power to love Him in that way. There are several more points I want to make, but I'm not going to get into right now because I know I won't be able to finish them. I want to make some application of some of the points that we have made here. As you consider your own spiritual condition, when you come into the presence of God, are you willing to allow God to expose your weaknesses as He causes you to reflect on the mirror of His Word those weaknesses? Listen, just because you've been a Christian for 10 or 15 or 20 years, just because you've read through the Bible three or four times, just because you go to church, just because you go to Bible studies, and just because you have Christian friends, does not mean that you're a mature Christian and that you are in a place in your own spiritual condition where you are strong enough to overcome. You are not. A mature Christian knows that his ability to overcome, his strength to overcome, comes from God, and that we must remain completely dependent on Him. True love is a tested love. Beware of overconfidence. Don't miscalculate those things as He did. Don't miscalculate your own spiritual condition, and don't miscalculate the strength of the devil. Father, we thank You for this time. May we apply the words that You have shared with us in Your Word so that we may grow in our faith. Help us become committed to pursuing Christ, to making that the passion of our life. We love You and pray all these things in Your precious name. Amen.
We certainly do hope that you are enjoying this series we began several weeks back entitled The Pursuit of Christ. It is our sincere prayer that God would use these messages and this series to really speak to you clearly as to what His will is for your life and what the whole process of sanctification means to the believer. Indeed, there is nothing more important for the Christian than to determine to pursue Christ, to make that the very passion of his life. And if you are one who has not entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can do so even right now. If you would just pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins as you repent of those sins, and as you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your heart and into your life and to bring you indeed a new life and make you a new creation. He will do so, for that is his promise, as we find in the Word of God. If you have prayed that prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Bible that God has made you his child, and that now you begin an exciting life, that you begin indeed what is life. Before your relationship with Jesus, you were but just merely existing. If you had prayed for Jesus to come into your heart, would you write us, let us know, so that we may be able to send you a booklet that will help you as you begin your walk with Jesus. For those of you who are believers and have been listening to this program, we would encourage you to write us as well. Let us know what God is doing in your life as a result of this, his ministry, and this program. Thank you so much for choosing to meet with us week after week to study the Bible along with us. Remember, copies of these messages are available on CD. You need to send a written request with a suggested donation of $5 to help us with the cost of production and shipping. We will again be making this entire series available as a set. We will give you further details as we have them. Remember, this is a listener-supported ministry. We need your prayers and your financial support to continue this program. So would you please consider praying and asking God if it is his will for you to partner along with us. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations and charitable contributions are tax deductible. I want to give you our contact information if you want to reach us by phone. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at mail@rffiministries.org, or you could even send it to Truth to Live By at rffiministries.org. If you're ordering any resources, write us at Reasons for Faith International Ministries or Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. I also want to remind you of an offer that we've been making for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I have recently authored and published a book entitled An Introduction to the Essential Doctrines of Christianity. This book is designed to help believers solidify their faith by teaching them what it is that they believe and why they believe it. This is a book that contains 150, 160 pages. We would love to send you this resource, this book, free of charge for a suggested donation of $25 to Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This will be a great resource. You may even want to purchase more than one copy or send us a donation for more than one copy so that you may be able to share this with friends or family. Again, we thank you so much for joining us every week. It is indeed our privilege for us to be able to get together with you week after week to study God's Word. We just pray that He would richly bless you, and we will see you again next week.